For October 19th, 2017, it's the Lullabot Podcast. It's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 219. I'm Matt Clavey, senior developer at Lullabot. With me, as always, co-host of the show, senior front-end developer Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm doing pretty decent. This is something like the more things change, the more they stay the same, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we've had this discussion before.
We've been there before. But you know what? It's okay, because I think if we get it figured out, it's going to be great. What are we talking about? We've been so cryptic.
Yeah, we're talking about React JS in Drupal.
What, we're going to put a front-end framework in core?
I know. It's kind of scary.
Well, we've got the people on that have been figuring things out and making it work, and we're going to learn all about the drive or the movement or, you know, the folks behind the idea that maybe we should put something like React in Drupal core.
Yep, absolutely. First up, we have Lowry Escolar. He is a co-maintainer of the Theme API and provisional Drupal 8 core committer and a front-end framework manager. Lowry, with three I's at the end, on Drupal.org, and he's coming from us from Bangkok, Thailand. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, that's great. And also, a note stranger to the podcast, we have with us a senior performance engineer at TagOne. He's the JavaScript maintainer for both Drupal 7 and Drupal 8. He got rid of the overlay module in core, which sounds like something to be known for to me. He's known as Nod on Drupal.org. He's joining us from France. We have Theodore Biadala. Hey, Nod.
Thanks for having me.
Next up, we have a senior JavaScript engineer at the office of the CTO in Acquia, Dr. Paul on Drupal.org for about six-ish years. He is also a JavaScript maintainer for Drupal 8, all the way from San Diego, California. Welcome, Matthew Grill.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. Also, no stranger to the podcast, we have senior technical architect at Lullabot. She's an expert with both JavaScript and Drupal. She's the person I go to for all my JavaScript questions. I'm told she's a pinecone aficionado. She's known as JustaFish on Drupal.org, where she's been for almost 10 years. But now we know that she actually hates swimming. Hey, it's Sally Young. Hey, Sally.
Hi. Thanks for having me. And thank you for telling everyone about my pinecone fear as a child.
If anyone has pine cones, you can bring them to Bad Camp. You said you were coming to Bad Camp.
Yep.
I'll bring a bunch of them on the plane.
So let's jump in. So, Sally, what's it been? Has it been a year or so since we had you and I think Matt? Was Matt on the podcast and Preston or something like that? We talked about the folks who wanted to put a front-end framework in core. And I think kind of the idea has evolved since then. Yeah?
Yeah, well, the issue was open 2 years ago, so maybe we were like halfway through the
while,
process.
Yeah. Okay.
When we had that last podcast. So yeah, we had that issue going for about 2 years, and we decided maybe we should pick something so that we could focus on all the other hard problems. So we picked something, and here we are.
Okay.
So let's if you don't mind, just kind of giving us the short highlights. Why was this necessary? I know there were a bunch of people with pitchforks like, don't do that. That's dumb. Like, why do we actually like in a brief sentence? Why do we want to actually put a front end framework in Drupal core?
We want to create some better UIs for the admin interface. Like Views, for example, has a lot of stuff. When you click around, lots of interactions. I don't know if you remember Views 1.
I was a fan.
Yeah, but like every time you change something, like the whole page would refresh. We don't have that now, but there's still like a lot of complex JavaScript interactions that happen there. And it would be nice if we could write that in an easier way and maybe in a way that the rest of the world is used to. Maybe they could... be able to jump in a little bit quicker than trying to learn custom JavaScript stuff.
So people actually use Drupal, not only on building UIs, but people use these UIs, and we ought to make really good user experiences for them.
Yeah, that's the hope.
So experimenting, building these kind of modern style UIs into Drupal core, such as the settings tray, which is a good example of something where we could really benefit of having these more modern tools. And just because of we don't have the tools that people mostly use for building that kind of UIs, it makes things as very, very complicated. And it has been, I guess, nice for many people to experiment that, but I think we've got enough of that. And we've seen that that's not the path that we would like to take. And we could really benefit of having these better tools. So we've actually, during these 2 years, we have tried different kind of approaches to avoid adding a JavaScript framework into core.
Another JavaScript framework.
Yeah. Yeah, another JavaScript framework is probably fair because...
Backbone?
Yeah, well, okay, yeah.
The stuff that's in there, I mean, we already have Backbone and we have some interfaces built using Backbone, but I don't know anybody that is wanting to build another interface in Backbone. If you are, good luck.
Mm-hmm. So do you think Backbone's going to be yanked out?
I don't want to commit to saying that it's going to be yanked out, but I think that if the framework discussion like moves forward and we do come to some agreement, then I think that new interfaces should be built with this new framework and not with Backbone.
Okay. So this was discussed recently in DrupalCon Vienna, and a decision was made to concentrate on React. Can someone walk us through that discussion?
So we had a discussion with a bunch of people who has been active in the Drupal core JavaScript. And what we discussed on that meeting was we first tried to find a consensus if it was a good time for us to choose a JavaScript framework that we would like to build these new UIs on. And we managed to find a consensus that it is a good idea for us to choose this JavaScript framework at this point. Then we proceeded the conversation to a specific framework, and we had multiple different frameworks that people proposed as their framework of choice. And the frameworks that were brought up were React, obviously, and besides that, Vue and Elm. As far as I remember, there was no other frameworks that we would have discussed on that meeting. And almost everyone brought up React as at least one of their options. So it was the easiest to start building consensus on, and we managed to build a consensus that it would be a good idea to start figuring out if there's some unknowns in implementing or using React in Drupal core. And that's why we opened up the issue in Drupal.org based on that conversation.
I think the smartest thing you did in that issue is you time boxed it to a certain amount, because that's the type of thing that could just kind of go on forever.
Yeah, that's something that we specifically wanted to do. We want to give the community a chance to give feedback. It's actually very valuable to get the feedback from the community because there's a lot of expertise in the community. So we definitely do want to get the feedback from there, even though we thought that React would be the best choice. And the feedback has been very good. But it's very useful to have the time box because of, you know, you can already see that it's going in circles, the discussion. So without having the time box, that gives us or forces us to make some kind of a decision, it would run for a long time.
So it sounds like the choice on if we're going to add a framework to core is already made. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't say that's correct.
Okay.
The whole idea of this is to be an experiment to see if we can do all these things that we've supposed that bringing a front-end framework into core will do for us. And if it doesn't work out, then we've improved our internal APIs, and that's great. And we'll think of something else. But yeah, it's definitely not set in stone.
Okay. And the choice of React, to me, it kind of sounds like that was made to kind of eliminate the bike shedding a little bit. Is that choice final? I've seen some other issues being opened up with Vue.js and web components.
The decision, in a sense, isn't final because of, we are only proposing that we will use React on our research. Mm-hmm. And the team that we have, mostly working on Drupal JavaScript, is committed for researching using React. I think that is pretty much final, unless something comes up that will stop us, like something very serious would come up. Then we'll figure out if we have to rethink our choice or not. But the team currently is most committed working on React. And so in a way, the decision is something that we don't want to change. But if something comes up, then we definitely will change that. And we are definitely still open for the other framework issues, doing research on other possible solutions or ways to solve the same problem. But the Drupal core JavaScript team isn't committed for researching those. So if the community comes up with resources for researching those frameworks, I think it's better for everyone because if we get to get the feedback based from multiple different point of views, so we can we have more resources, more facts that we can base our decisions on when we make the final decision. So it haven't been decided that React or any framework will be added into Drupal core in a sense, but what has been decided that we will research some JavaScript framework, and the team is currently committed to research React specifically.
This is not actually an honest to goodness initiative, or is it? But it does have a lot of momentum from Dries, right? Because Dries was the one who initially blogged about it and said, let's do this damn thing, right?
It is official initiative now. So okay. Dries proposed this as a strategic initiative for Drupal core in his keynote in Vienna. So since then, it has been an official initiative.
Outstanding. Cool. I'm up to date.
When we're talking about React, are we also talking about Redux and JSX and maybe Webpack and everything that comes with that?
Possibly. JSX, probably, mm-hmm. because most people use it when they use React, and so it's very familiar. As for the other libraries, we did discuss it a little bit, but I don't feel that we're quite at the stage to be thinking about all of that yet. We have huge problems to face us yet, rather than like which JavaScript state management system should we use.
So what are those next problems that you're working on?
Before Mike, can we ask that question a second? I've got one that I think we need to clarify first. Can somebody give like the 30-second sales pitch to somebody who's not a React fan that says this is why this is a good solution?
Good try. Okay, so React is extremely popular amongst the JavaScript development community. It's has a huge community of developers and contributors around it. There's huge numbers of libraries available that plug into it, like Redux, which you mentioned. There's tons of learning resources out there, conferences, lots of excitement, lots of job openings we found as well. That was one of the things we looked at, like what are people excited and on getting into and what are people hiring for?
So as a framework, it's popular and it has a lot of momentum behind it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it renders stuff into the DOM. There's other good frameworks which do that too. But, you know, the community around it as well is very important and the support for it is important. I really like it on a technical level because I like the way its lifecycle events work. It's actually not too hard to pick up because it doesn't do a ton of stuff. If you look at something like Angular, for example, it's very opinionated, which is good. You know, you have to build your app in a certain way with tons of stuff, whereas React is like a small library that just does one thing. And React 16 came out recently, and it's very, very fast and very small. So that's all quite exciting too.
So I don't not mention this. I'm not up to date. I admit it. But weren't there some licensing issues that blew up in the last month or so?
There were.
Yeah,
they're gone now. Were being the operative word there.
So we're all good there?
I mean, React 16 was released and relicensed under MIT, not the BSD patent clause thing that Facebook had released.
Which MIT code can't go in the Drupal repo, so it'll have to be pulled in with Composer or something like that? Or not Composer.
No, I don't think that's true. I think there are MIT libraries.
I think it can be included.
Oh, so. Yeah. See, I told you I'm not up to date. Cool.
MIT is one of the licenses that is actually compatible with Drupal's license.
There we go. Cool.
Great. Yeah, that's good to know.
What's the time frame to work on this and to maybe get this into core, assuming that's the decision that gets made? What are the next steps to work on?
So as far as steps are going, there was back, it's been a while that there's been a document explain the process for big UX changes. And so right now we're just at the prototype phase. So I don't know, maybe you need to ask Matt on when it's going to be, the prototype is going to be ready. But soon after that, we need to come up with a plan, because it all depends on if we can fix the issues of extensibility and theming and that kind of things. And once those issues are solved, we can have a proper plan to extend the pages that we want to make in React or features that we want to make in React. So I don't have any date. I don't think anyone has any date to give, but that's at least the process we'll go through, I think.
That's accurate. I started work on a React prototype already of the example that we proposed, which was the DBlog page, and that's coming along nice. But one of the main issues has always been is the APIs, the HTTP APIs to support building these kind of interfaces. And right now it's based on a sort of modified Vue's REST export, but there's some challenges around that. So that'll take some more time. I think that's going to be the hardest part, not the building these components in React. So if we can get that resolved.
I did laugh this morning because now DBlog module seems to have become the most talked about module in all of Drupal.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been implementations in Vue, and I think someone started a web components one, and Daniel Vayner made a blog post about a WebSocket integration he added for it. And then I was talking to Christina this morning. She was like, oh yeah, the DBlog module came up on the UX call today. It's like, wow. People are really interested in DBlog all of a sudden.
That's one of those modules that hasn't been touched much since, logging kind of got abstracted out into, whatever you wanted it to be. But...
Right, and that was kind of the point of choosing it, because it was so simple, and the interface for it is really simple. So we didn't want to worry about trying to do something really complex for our first go at it.
So I see something in the issue... in the issue to, choose a front-end framework, and it says, we want to have sufficient real use experience to make a final decision prior to 8.6.0's development period, which kind of starts in 2018. So my understanding is that we're trying to have these demos up and these real-world examples done by the end of the year, so we can maybe figure out if there's any blockers.
Yeah, I think we want to get the demos done well before that, so we have time to make the decision, time to get some feedback on that, and so I would say we probably would like to have these demos up on around November ish time. So I think the demoing period shouldn't be too long, and we should then, once we've actually gained some experience, move to the actual building stuff phase.
Okay. Are we going to be using React for just like back-end UIs like views, or is this going to be eventually be used in the toolbar and the quick edit module and, you know, the settings tray and stuff like that?
They could.
Yeah.
But those are very hard things to implement and do. So let's start that cautiously small.
Mm-hmm. Is one of the questions I had kind of down the road is that React seems to be kind of moving very quickly. If we put a version of React in Drupal core and it's included, you know, when you're logged in as admin for the settings tray and toolbar and stuff like that, is the front end going to be stuck using that same version of React, or could that be, is it possible to run two versions of React, or how exactly would that work?
That's a really good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, I would say I personally would prefer the admin theme to be decoupled from the front end theme so that we're not injecting React into whatever you want to build in your front end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
We are trying to avoid messing up with the theme experience of the front end themes. That's not in any way on our priority approach to make this over there at this point. What we are experimenting is the UIs that are for the administrators or content authors. I think the mentioned UIs, such as the quick edit toolbar, might be something that we consider at some point to be built using this, since they are using Backbone. But yeah, like Matt said, they are definitely not on the that high on the list just because of the complexity of those components.
But if it's in core, like somebody could build whatever they want with it. There's a benefit to that. I think we saw that with jQuery. We've got jQuery in core. Look, I need to do something with JavaScript. Hey, look, I already have jQuery. I might as well use it. I think the same thing could be held with React.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, JavaScript APIs for doing the stuff we did with jQuery have caught up to that now. So. Yeah. That might not be necessary.
That was just my old example. That we had jQuery, so we might as well use it. Now we have React. We might as well use it when we're doing something.
Sure. We did see a lot of problems with that, though. Hence jQuery update module.
Hey, you beat me to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'd have to think that through very carefully.
So we need a React update module?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
If React is actually going to be part of the core itself, or if it's going to be part of like some kind of administrative team, so that it couldn't be even used outside of the administrative teams, and that has been kind of the path that we have already taken on the Drupal. We have already marked 7 and Bardic teams, both internal. They are part of the product, but we don't suggest anyone to implement anything based on those two teams. Just because of the architecture of Drupal, people could still sub-team 7 team if they want. But with React, because we are building something new, we could even prevent people from using the React that we have in Drupal core for their own purposes. Because I don't think that's also... I think that is something that we are not trying to tackle in this. I don't think we are trying to encourage more people to use React on their front-end teaming, whatever they are doing. But instead, we are just finding a solution that we can use for building these administrative UIs.
Yeah, and like the challenge there is we don't necessarily want themes to use React components by hooking into what we've done in the admin theme, but we probably want modules to be able to provide some way of doing something in the admin theme, probably. But then we get into these questions of how opinionated can the admin theme be now? Is it going to be like Calypso in WordPress where, you know, that's the admin theme, you can't really theme it too much? Or like, how much flexibility are we going to be able to provide if we go down this route?
Yeah, and, you know, installing new admin themes, you know, how exactly is that going to work?
Yes, good questions. We need answers too.
Yeah.
It's like, I think one thing some people have been thinking about is there's a Mozilla project, which kind of lets you have a sort of form API type thing that spits out React components. So that might be one solution to what we do there. And, you know, Maybe you could provide your form in PHP and it will convert it if you want, because we don't necessarily want to force module authors to learn React in order to, you know, build their great things for adminning Drupal. But maybe you could override it with React, something like that. Anyway, that's all like.
What was the project that you said that can automatically create React components? You said it was Mozilla or something?
Matt, do you...
Was that... It's like a Mozilla React JSON schema forms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you Google those words, it will be the first thing.
Okay. Let's see if I can spell all of that. So let's talk about challenges of React. You know, I know React has a faster release cycle. And what else are we anticipating that could potentially screw us over in the long run? Is there anything else that we're worried about or that might be difficult?
So the React maintainers and the React community has slightly different viewpoints on like how to build this kind of applications, or I don't even know if they've considered this kind of applications, probably not because of we are kind of a niche use case, but they come with a different kind of viewpoint and they want to restrict different kind of things from happening. Like, let's say if we would explain them about our form alters or about our pre-process functions, they would probably like be scared about what we are talking about because of they don't like that kind of things. And mixing that kind of culture with the way of how Drupal has used to doing things can be tricky for us. But I think there's also a lot of things that we can learn because if we can remove some of those layers, we can potentially simplify the architecture by quite a lot, which can help us build things faster.
You'd be surprised with stuff like that, though. I was talking to Nate Haug, Quick Sketch at Vienna, and he's been working on a project with me, actually, that's Node, and we use Redux, and we were just like figuring that out. And at Vienna, he was like, oh, so I've been trying to map over things from this React application over to like Drupalisms. And he was like, oh, so Redux, reducers, they're just like hooks. I was like, yeah, actually, now you say that they are exactly the same as hooks, more or less. So I don't think we're too different.
Yeah, there's some differences on what you can do and what you cannot do. And yeah, so I mean, there is obviously there is similar kind of patterns, but I've found it, if you compare two of these things, I found it more restrictive what how React works or how Redux works because of the way they've architected it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just does less. It's a UI renderer. It's not a CMS, so it's not going to be trying to do all the things that we're doing.
Yeah, but it's, let's say if we just discuss about like the React components, it's like, it can be confusing for the developers that you can't modify your props because they're immutable. And in Drupal, we don't really have anything that is immutable. So it can be something very new for people. And then we would have to teach them about the state and like what is the difference between two of these concepts.
Right.
And like, because of at work, I've been teaching many people how to build things using React. It's I've seen how frustrating it can be. And I think I was mentoring one person using React, and what he was doing by building the application, he was kind of pre-processing the data that was coming for a component so that he was setting it into a state. And it was very difficult to I was figuring out like how could we make it work in the right way. And it was difficult to kind of go away from that mindset that you can modify everything and switch it so that nothing needs to be modified. And then once we managed to go through that process and we made everything immutable and made it so that we don't use these kind of patterns, everything was so much more simple. We had this data going one way through the components, and everything became so much more simpler than it was with the other way of doing things.
We're talking with some of the JavaScript experts in the Drupal community about adding React to Drupal Core on the Lullabot podcast. We'll be right back after this. Hey, podcast listeners. Matt Cleave here. Hey, I wanted to let you know real quick about Florida Drupal Camp 2018. Yeah, I know it's October, but we should start thinking about what's coming up in the new year. And one event you should not miss is Florida Drupal Camp. It will be happening February 16th through the 18th in Orlando. It's always a great event. The folks down in Florida do a really good job. Bring your family. They can go visit the mouse. You can go do some Drupal and then go see the mouse later. But yeah, it's a great location, a great venue, a great time. Florida Drupal Camp 2018, February 18th in Orlando, Florida. I'll tell you that Orlando sounds pretty nice come February. So make plans right now. You can check out their website, fldrupal.camp.
Welcome back. We're talking React and Drupal on the Slullabot podcast. So React has a notorious learning curve. I don't know if it's quite notorious, but several people I know, including myself, have had some issues.
Kind of like Drupal, right?
Yeah.
So I suppose the two kind of fit together then.
If you have two hard learning curves, that makes the whole thing easy, maybe, right? No. How are we going to deal with that? What training resources are out there? Have any of you had issues or difficulties learning React? I can tell you my experience afterwards.
I never found React particularly difficult to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
It's a view library at its core, and the concepts, if you work your way up from the beginning, are not that complicated. From my perspective, the tooling associated with React is the significantly more complicated piece, and that's the stuff that Drupal should abstract away from you as the user that want to build an interface using React.
Yeah, the tooling is difficult. And like when I first built my first React site, the tooling was way, way, way worse than it is now. So I can't give a good answer to a learning curve of React, because if I look at it now, I'm like, oh, this is all so easy. This is great. Having been through the gates of hell to get there in the first place. But yeah, I mean, we have a lot of those build processes in Drupal Core now, which Matt or Theo could speak more about, which hopefully makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was on this podcast, we talked about introducing the transpile step for Core's JavaScript. So if you're doing JavaScript for Drupal Core, you're already using a build process. So we can just make this a little bit more complicated and hopefully not affect the user.
I think you made this point to me in Vienna that maybe like a perception of you being easier or React, which is odd because I don't think I'd ever heard that outside of this particular issue on Drupal.org. But one thing we kind of talked about was the way they present their tutorials. So I think when you start the Vue tutorial on their website, you just like drop in a script, right? And you just start going, and the HTML is something quite similar, or if you come from Angular, it's very similar. Whereas I think in React, you're a bit more encouraged to kind of like get going with that tooling straight away. There's actually a really good project called Create React App, which is under the Facebook Incubator GitHub account, which tries to set up all of that tooling for you, and it's really, really good. So I think that's super helpful. But the thing is whatever app you're building in, whatever framework is, you're going to have to deal with all of that stuff eventually anyway.
So how did you first learn React, Sally?
So we decided we wanted to build lullabot.com decoupled because we'd worked on a few sites where we'd done, we actually did something in, it was like Zepto. It was like a jQuery type thing. And it plugged into a Drupal site, and it was like a standalone app that did its own stuff. So that was cool. And then we wanted to see if we could do an entire decoupled site. So I had to choose a UI framework to do that in. And so I grabbed all the frameworks and tried a little bit of each of them. And I found React the easiest, and it was also the fastest to render in all my tests as well compared to everything else. So we went with that, and Yeah, and then I just tried building a big thing and had to learn as I went.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You just start building stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, that works for me. Some people prefer tutorials, like articles.
Uh-huh. What about you, Matt Grill? How familiar are you with React, and how did you get into it?
I strongly avoided learning a JavaScript front-end framework for a very long time because I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. And I don't know, someone was like, look at React, and I was like, oh, this makes sense. It's a small set of things that you kind of just build upon and work your way up to building a really complex application. And I just, you know, started building like toy things, and now I use it for almost everything, totally comically at this point, but it works well. But I have an interesting story about someone learning React. I had a friend that had never programmed before and had never like even really done any programming on the computer ever, really. And he went from like zero to a React development job in just under 6 months very recently. So I was pretty excited to kind of help him along that journey and learn React wow. and JavaScript. So he did like a complete 180 career shift. So it's good.
Yeah, I've heard that story from several people, actually. Like a friend of mine used to go to this meetup where refugees would come to the country and wanted to learn something. And so they would all start learning JavaScript and, you know, were able to get jobs pretty quickly and get ramped up quite fast.
Cool. Lori and Theodore, how familiar are you with React, and how did you get started on it?
I've been working using React on several client projects, and how I got into it was we were building an API for client, and they needed like a very small application on top of that, and then we just kind of figured out that it would be cool to build it on JavaScript, and we tested out a bunch of different frameworks, and we figured that React was probably easiest to learn for us, and there was good examples of like how to build what we wanted to build using that, and then we just went ahead with that. And for me, it was like the build tools was really the most difficult part. It took me a long time to figure out what is going on there, and to figure out like how flexible everything was. Like you can customize anything that you want because of like you just built everything from scratch. And then like I think on the first project that I was building, I couldn't really get all of the benefits out of React because I didn't know all of the possibilities in the beginning of the project. Because kind of with Drupal, I've learned that there's this kind of one way or two ways, because Drupal is more opinionated than React. But then on the second React project that I was working on, like we just went nuts and did everything that we wanted to do how we wanted because it supported that. And then we could do it.
And as for me, it's a bit different because I don't really have much time to develop stuff. And I learned React, like the basic, did the tutorial, that kind of stuff, but I didn't build like a whole application with it or a whole website. So I was mainly there to make sure whatever decision is not going to be, too much at odds with what we currently do with the JavaScript in Drupal core, because that's the part that I know most. And I mean, I like React for the and all the other JavaScript framework for the concept they they popularize, I guess. But I'm not really into the actual execution of it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mike, how about you? Tell me about your React experience. Since we're kind of the hacks on the podcast today.
Yeah, no joke. So I'm a front-end developer, and you know, I feel like, you know, in 2017 it's almost required that you know React. I back when lullabot.com was being developed by Sally and a couple others, You know, I would go in there to try to knock out an issue or so, but I was on a client project at the same time, so I couldn't like really dedicate myself to working on that. And I kind of got lost just looking at it. And so that was kind of frustrating. It kind of turned me off for a little bit. Recently, I've been doing I've been doing this kind of suite of courses by this front-end developer named Wes Boss, W-E-S-B-O-S. And you started off with just like a JavaScript 30 thing where you do 30 JavaScript challenges in 30 days. And afterwards, I did a ES6 course, which was really, really useful because like if you're programming JavaScript and or if you're programming React and you're doing, you know, modern JavaScript, it's hard to tell where the modern JavaScript ends and React begins without knowing, you know, that syntax that, hey, this is just built into modern, you know, ES6, ES2015 JavaScript. And now I'm in the process of doing a React course from the same person, and honestly it's been great, and I've been learning a whole bunch and kind of building a little project app and stuff like that. And the more you get into it, the more sense it makes. So at that point I'm hoping to kind of get some pull requests into the lullabot.com. so
do you think React is going to work well for Drupal, Mike?
You know, I don't know. You know, I have a couple reservations, like I said earlier, where if you're pulling stuff into the front end at the same time, then if you have, you know, two different JavaScript libraries up there, but then it might not matter if it's completely decoupled. You're not going to have that quick edit, and you're not going to have that toolbar and stuff like that. Other than that, I think it'll work fine. The project that I'm currently on does have, you know, it's Drupal 7, and we have some React components that are built into it, and they seem to work fine. I honestly think that pretty much anything is going to work better than this jQuery and state management stuff that we're all handling by hand, and, you know, hopefully enable some better UIs that are a little bit more performant than we currently have. So now, as opposed to a couple of years ago, I was a little bit against it when we initially talked about pulling in something like this in the core, because we didn't know if React was going to still be popular, you know, now. And honestly, I guess, you know, our same argument could hold. We don't know if it's going to be popular going forward. But we can make a better educated guess now too. And in addition to that, we've had the chance to make Drupal's internal APIs better. So hopefully this will help out. But, you know, one of the questions that's in the back of my head is, will React be obsolete in 3 to 4 to 5 years, you know, with web components and things like that coming out? So if anyone has any thoughts on that, please share.
I think that Facebook is very invested in React. They use it in a lot of stuff. And if they see using web components as being a useful way to render things in React, I think they would move towards that. But I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what the internet's going to look like in 5 years' time? Can't really make a call on that. Just have to work with what we have now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be cat GIFs.
Definitely lots of cat GIFs.
Yeah, other than that, I don't know.
No, I read a really interesting article yesterday. Someone who, it opened up saying something like, so my company bet on web components a while ago as like our thing going forward, and here's all the massive amounts of problems we now have. But things are getting better, so I don't know. It's tough with web components. It's been moving very slowly. Kind of seems like.
Yeah.
There now, but I don't know.
Yeah, I remember hearing about them, you know, 3 to 4 years ago, and, you know, there's various different things that were supposedly moving in that kind of web components encapsulates. And I remember hearing recently that HTML imports are now not going to be implemented on any browser. I think they were implemented on maybe Chrome, but now it appears that they're not going to use that, and they're going to use ES6 imports, where you can, you know, use, what do you call them, the template literals to pulling your strings or whatever, but
yeah, I mean, I think we can't really make a decision on something that's not as solid as the one we've gone with.
Yeah, and the argument could be, you know, even if we wait 5 years, we're still not going to know for the next 5 years.
Right. And then, you know, if web components take over the world and React doesn't adopt web components, then we'll just have to rewrite that admin theme in web components.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about maybe how this is going to work for maybe I'm guessing if we're implementing React on the backend admin interface and for whatever reason I disable JavaScript, which now you can still get around your admin interface if you have JavaScript disabled, is everything going to completely break or is there going to be some type of fallback with that? And
are you hinting at server-side rendering?
I'm kind of wondering, like, obviously
throwing the softball.
Yeah. With server-side rendering, you would need Node on the server, which of course would dramatically increase any type of, you know, complexity.
Well, there's PHP, the V8.js thing. I think you could probably set something up to server-side render there.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be more complicated than running Node on the server.
Well, it might not be.
Yeah. I
mean, in the long run, it's sort of like, do you add an entire an additional stack and technology to your server to render parts of your HTML?
You mentioned was a PHP library. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, it's a PHP extension library, okay. Something. I don't know what they're actually called. I'm not a PHP developer.
You install a thing and put a line on the php.ini file, right?
Yeah, Lowry got a PHP VHS. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But one of the really interesting things is that with React 16, there's no checksums, right? I don't know. That stood by me, at least initially, and I sort of didn't really grab onto this, but that Drupal could still technically render the HTML initially, and then React could just bootstrap it afterwards.
So React is just going to kind of reorganize the DOM with...
It just takes over all subsequent adjustments to the DOM after the page is loaded.
Gotcha.
So if you don't have JavaScript, then you'll just get a one-time render of this page, basically.
Right. But then you need your templates in two places unless we figure out how to render all the React components on the server, which is why you might want to do something like, I don't know, yeah. PHP has V8 bindings. That might be not a good idea, though. I don't know.
These are all hard problems. Yeah, exactly.
And I have a different solution a different answer to the question. So for a long time, I've been worried that Drupal 8 doesn't work on proxy browsers. So it all depends on how we use React, because we can have like a very optimized administration UI for content editors that uses React and with all the fancy stuff, but still keep the old, you know, form-based admin interface, but removing as much JavaScript from there as possible to have like a fallback, or I don't know, it doesn't make sense to remove everything right away. So maybe we can find a use for that. And also, you know, make sure that the admin interface works on proxy browsers that are used in, you know, less connected places.
So when you say when you say proxy browser, you're talking about stuff like Opera or something like
Mini,
that?
Yeah, Opera Mini. And UC browser as well, and a bunch of other Chinese browsers.
That's interesting.
So it depends on how we go about building the new React admin, mm-hmm. or JavaScript-based admin.
Are the APIs, does Drupal have the APIs in place to make all of this work? Like how much work, for example, you know, you talked a little bit about the DBlog module. Are those APIs sitting there waiting for us, or does custom development need to be done? What about if we move into something more complicated like views? Is that going to I'm guessing a certain amount of work is going to need to be done on the back end to expose those APIs.
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer.
There are some, definitely some APIs. And like, for example, right now, the DBlog prototype, we are using views because the existing Core REST work doesn't support like lists of items. And so you can only get one DBlog entry per HTTP request right now with the built-in REST API. So we have to use a view, but that introduces a whole ton of challenges that I have had to work around. So this is not the most awesome it could be.
So one of the things that, one of the big parts of the API that we are missing is entity validation, which we currently do only on the form level. But obviously when we go using the APIs, we need some kind of validation on that as well. And that is something that we haven't yet figured out. So there is like different kind of things that we have to figure out, like just simply exposing some kind of APIs, then figuring out like how are we going to validate these things and how do we convert some of the existing logic that we have built in the UI into other places so that the exposed APIs also can leverage that. And those are problems that many people who are building decoupled sites or use those APIs already have to face, but the core developers, if they don't happen to use the APIs that way, will never actually know about that. So it's very good for the API development as well that we dog food ourselves and get some experience what works, what doesn't work.
Right on. So what's the end game here? If we're going to get this something into core, is this going to be an experimental module like some of the other initiatives or some of the other projects are going toward? What's the future hold for this?
So I think we would like to experiment in the contrib space as long as possible, make some changes for Drupal core to support those contributed modules. Those improvements would be available for all of the users of the APIs, of course. But eventually, probably around 8.6 or 8.7 development, we would proceed to core. And then we would create an experimental module or team or experimental something where we can experiment with this Drupal core itself. So the idea is not to yank in something immediately and get locked on that.
Isn't it great the way we're versioning Drupal now? Like, this is possible.
Yay, minor releases.
Yeah, exactly. Yay, minor releases. Cool. So we're coming almost to the time limit. So why don't we all just kind of go around the horn, and I would like to give you a soapbox to talk about your little corner of this project and maybe give some promotion to something that's happening that you're excited about, or just, you know, 30 seconds or whatever to rant. So Lori, if you don't mind kicking it off, anything you'd like to add about React in Drupal?
I've been working on the render system and theme system improvements, and if we can really move forward with this kind of improvements, I think the team that we have can spend less time on the theme system and render system problems and can move forward on other kind of problems, which will help us. And I'm really happy about that. I'm also really excited to get to leverage the code from wider community that React or the other framework, whatever framework we in the end decide to pick, has, because of that makes building UI so much easier. So those are the things that I'm excited.
Matt Grill, your turn.
I think, you know, echoing what Lowry said, and I mean, additionally, we're not, I mean, at least I'm not trying to make anyone's lives more difficult if you're already working with Drupal. In the end, we're just trying to provide some level of sort of modernization, perhaps. And if you don't care about React and you want to work on other JavaScript issues, there are tons of them. Please, we can always use more hands.
That's true. Sally Young.
We're going to be at BadCamp. And we're going to work on some of this stuff. So if you're at BadCamp and want to come and work on some of this stuff, you should wave at us. And I think it might happen on Friday. Is it going to be a front-end summit, Matt?
There will be Thursday? A place where we can talk about front-end things. So.
Yes. Is it Thursday or Friday?
I don't know.
I think it's Thursday.
Okay.
I remember looking at it. I'm getting in Thursday night, and I remember looking at that and being kind of disappointed. It looks like I can't make that.
Oh, well, we'll be around the whole rest of the week probably working on this, so you can come and work on with us too.
That sounds like fun.
Outstanding. Theodore, anything you'd like to add?
As usual, we need more contribution on JavaScript patches and some issues that are not React or any JS framework based. So if you're interested in JavaScript and want to contribute, feel free to ping me or any of the maintainers, and we can point out any issue you can work on.
Outstanding. And how can somebody jump in and be useful to this React and Drupal movement? And maybe they're not going to be at Badcamp.
Drupal Slack, the JavaScript room on Drupal Slack, is where we're having a weekly meeting in there where we're going to talk about this. And so, get in contact with me. I have plenty of issues and patches that need review and things that need feedback. So,
and your contact info is on our podcast page. So, yeah.
Yes. apparently it is.
It will be. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, awesome.
People are listening to this. It is.
Mike Herschel, do you have anything you'd like to say about this topic to close us off?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. And I will be in Badcamp this week when this is published. Friday and Saturday, and I will also be at Drupal Camp Atlanta, and that's November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And so, yeah, if anybody wants to say hi, come say hi.
If you like what you hear, if you hate what you hear, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at Lullabot,
mm-hmm.
or leave a comment on the podcast page on our website, lullabot.com.
Yep, and feel free to give us 1-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher or anything else that we have.
We'd love to hear 5-star reviews too, but yeah, just let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear feedback.
I'm just trying to be honest, Matt. Is there anything else we're missing?